Welcome back to another episode of the Bisexual Agenda. I'm your host, Kit Scales. This episode is all about crushes. It's Scorpio season, it's Mercury retrograde, we're all just ruining our own lives, texting our exes, having romantic obsessions about people we've just met. I mean, yeah, I definitely am, and I do think I'm alone. I haven't texted my ex because all of them are so terrible that I have them blocked, but it's not going great for anyone. So I thought I'd speak to one of my former crushes, Carl, about this. Okay, so I met Carl just over a year ago, maybe, at this academic reading club thing called Quilting Points, which is run by people doing PhDs at the University of Leeds. And yeah, when I met him, I was just super obsessed with him because he wears cool trousers. He has these like adorable, like round cheeks. And he also was like the first, like vaguely, like interesting, funny, clever, straight, I'm doing air quotes here, man I had met for like 4 years. So at this point I hadn't slept with a guy for 3 years. I had had like 2 crushes on guys, but nothing had happened, and I was really feeling the like no straight men bisexual mood. And I literally texted all my friends like, red alert, I have a crush on a man, because yeah, I had not for a really long time. I told him that I had a crush on him, I think maybe a couple of months after we had met. And word for word, he replied saying, I'm sorry, I'm so emotionally unavailable. And props for my, like, therapist, because instead of being like, they're emotionally unavailable, but I'm just gonna fall in love with them. Yeah, I decided to be a sane human, and now we're friends. So, yeah, he's great. He's doing a... Oh, fuck. Okay, he's doing a contemporary American literature PhD. He's very cute. His favorite song, like one of his favorite songs, is Biology by Girls Aloud. So I feel like that gives you a good picture. Let me know who your crush is. I mean, there's no judgment here. Just DM me and we can talk it through. And maybe download like some astrology apps so you know whether it's a good time to try and ruin your life or not. I hope you enjoy the episode. Please follow me on Instagram at the Bisexual Agenda Pod. If you really love me, leave me a review on Apple Podcasts because it will make my day. And this is your reminder, don't text your ex. If they text you, block them. And don't sign any contracts or do any like crazy impulsive haircuts. This is just not the time for it. Wait until like beginning of December. Even then it still might ruin your life, but yeah, don't do it right now. Okay, also I just want to say, I know the name of this podcast is The Bisexual Agenda, but the only 100% consistent bisexual element of this podcast is me. Not every guest that's going to be on the podcast is bisexual. Most of them are going to be queer, or gay, or lesbian, or bi, or pan. But yeah, you don't have to be bisexual to listen to this podcast. This podcast will not make you bisexual if you don't want to be. Yeah, and if you want to be a guest, or if you have like a theme for an episode, or if you have a bisexual dilemma and you trust my terrible decision-making skills to answer that for you, just DM me on the Instagram. It will make me super happy. I really like it when people message me on there. Also, I think this podcast has very strong manifestation powers because since episode 2, me and Olivia have found a perfect replica of the yellow coat that Jonathan wears in Queer Eye. And Olivia has bought it and she looks great. And it's extremely long, it's extremely yellow, and she's just living her best life. And I said that I wanted, that I was like, had seen that super hot butch EMT at the donut place on episode 3. And then I matched with a super hot butch EMT on Tinder. So yeah, if you want anything in your life to improve, just come on my podcast and speak it into the universe. Like, Olivia got like messages and DMs, and she went on a fucking coffee date because of the power of the bisexual agenda. So yeah, it's for everyone. And I love you, and message me about your crushes because I'm incredibly nosy. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome again to the Bisexual Agenda. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Just like every day. So I wanted to talk to you about crushes.
Yes.
Because you're the only person that has like as many crushes as me, I think.
What do you mean by that?
We always have crushes all the time.
Yeah, I'm big for sort of like low-key kind of fancying a lot of people, but then doing like nothing about it.
Exactly.
I stay in the crush bubble.
Yes. So I was like, oh yeah, let's talk about crushes. So I did my research, which was basically the extent of it was going on Wikipedia. And it said there's 3 types of crushes. There's an identity crush, a romantic crush, and a celebrity crush.
Ooh.
And I think there's also a friend crush.
I was wondering whether you were going to bring this up, because we've chatted about friend crushes before. Yes. Sort of off mic, you know.
Yeah, so I don't think a friend crush is an identity crush, because that's like if you want to be like the person.
Is that what an identity crush is?
Yeah, so it's like you aspire to be like that person, so you have a crush on them because you want to be more like them.
Okay.
But a friend crush is just like you really desperately want them to be your friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not the same.
I was going to say that the friend crush thing, I remember when you first mentioned it to me, I've known that as like a target friend. It sounds super creepy, but it's not. But it's like the same sort of thing when like you're in a group of people and a friend says, oh, here's my friend Sam, and you're like, God, I really want to get to know Sam. Like, I want them to like me. I want them to be my friend. And it's like you just kind of like, I don't know, you know, try and find ways to chat to them like in any way possible, and then get them to like you, but you kind of fail horrendously.
What? Right?
I don't know.
I think I'm quite good at making people my friend. There's only one that I haven't managed.
The one that got away.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
No. I think there's still hope out there.
Yeah, there always is.
Yeah. I'm hoping one day I'll have them on the podcast. I'm like, oh, I thought we'd never be friends.
I'm sorry, kid. We're not friends.
They'll be like, I thought this was a business arrangement.
It's purely professional.
So yeah, I have some questions for you about your crushes. So who's your first ever crush?
Oh God. Do I need to name them? Or
No, you can just like describe them. You could give them a code name.
A code name. Okay. So, oh God, because I don't even know if they actually were a crush or whether I just said they were my crush to be cool, right?
Okay, how old is this?
So this is like, maybe like 9, 10? So I'm like tail end of primary school, right? So what's that, year 5?
Mm-hmm.
And like, so what's the context for this? So context for this is I'm from a village, like just outside Nottingham. Right? It's so small town, so like, okay, it's quite a big village, right? So there's like this primary school, it's like, you know, a couple of hundred kids, and the sort of like general discourse of this like sheltered white middle class village school is that like, you know, girls are icky, and like I don't think I've ever heard the word gay used as anything other than an insult, right?
Okay.
So yes. So it's like you will fancy a woman, and at some point around sort of like 9, 10, it suddenly like stopped being like weird.
Everyone came back from summer and they're like, actually, we fancy the girls.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what happened, right? And so like the sort of like cool boys that I was like trying to be friends with were all just like, oh yeah, we all fancy someone. Like, who do you fancy? And, like, I fancy, like, I'm trying to think of like a random woman's name.
Jessica.
Yes, I fancy Jessica, right? Or whatever. And it's like, oh cool, because I fancy like Kate and I fancy Charlotte. And it's like, okay, fine, whatever. And so everyone has one, but everyone has a different one, right? So this is like, they've definitely watched some rom-coms over the summer or something. And we're like, oh my God, there's like one for the main character. They're like, oh my God, this is so convenient. The world just matches up like this in this heteronormative social structure. And, you know, these are really, really sort of like intelligent, non-intelligent 8-9-year-olds. So I was like, oh, well, I fancy this person, you know. And she's really cute and like super, super smart and like completely made sense for like who I was at that time to fancy her, right? But like, I remember just kind of, I feel like I just said it to sound cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did kind of have
then
a crush.
Then
I did actually have a crush on her for like, I don't know, probably like 2 months or something because I was 9 and I got bored of things. But like, I definitely did have a crush on her. And then I ran into her like, I still like see her around sometimes if I ever like go home.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like off around doing bits. Keep running into her mum as well. Mum's really nice.
That's cute.
But yeah, it was like kind of like a sweet thing and everyone got really embarrassed by it. And I was probably very strange.
Were you like friends with her or not?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay. So like, you were friends with her and you had a crush on her?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. So it wasn't like I just picked like, you know, the hot one over there. It was very much, but it was like, you know, I could understand that, you know. But I don't know whether that's because I didn't fully have like a concept of what that was and whether I was just saying it and then it sort of became that. I don't know. It's strange. I don't really know sort of how it formed or what came first.
So do you have a celebrity crush? Or many?
Oh God, there's quite a few. Are we talking like right now or do you want like a...
Oh my God, you can give me a trajectory of like the evolution of the celebrity crush or just right now.
I think there definitely is an evolution. I could go through a thing. Mm-hmm. I remember my like very first celeb crush.
Is it from Lord of the Rings?
No, it's way niche. So we're talking like 90s kids TV here.
Okay.
But like it wasn't anyone who was like in a show. It wasn't a character, it was like one of the presenters.
Who was it?
So it was CITV's, what was her name? Danielle Nichols. This is so rogue. She used to present CITV with Stephen Mulhern. Back when he did kids TV and now he does like what Catchphrase and The Right Stuff and what have you. But she like, yeah, did you know the sort of like segments?
Looks like a lesbian.
Oh yeah. Funnily enough, I should have known, eh? But like so they did like the segments in between like the kids shows, the 5 minutes of like, you know, little Tommy's like sent in a drawing and like they're like, that's really great. And I was like, God, I want her to tell me something I've done is great. Like, I want some affirmation from this person. And so like, yeah, that was like my first crush. Yeah, that's her. Yeah. I did Google her before because I'd forgotten her surname.
She looks amazing. Love it.
Yeah. It was like peak sort of late nighty chic. So she was like, yeah, the first one. And then in retrospect, sort of like looking back on it, I always had like a fascination with James McKenzie, the guy who do you ever watch the TV show Raven?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Raven.
I honestly thought they died when they lost the game.
They did.
And did you watch Jungle Run, the one where they get trapped? Oh. That gave me so much anxiety. I was like having a like heart attack as it did in the countdown when the like jaws were closing and they'd be like trying to scramble out of it.
It wasn't the jaws though, it was the belly. It was like
it was
the temple of the jungle
it, like,
king.
It was a hippo's face.
No, it was this big gorilla's belly, and they're like running out with the monkey statues that has their Game Boy Advance and like micro scooter in after having done a puzzle, and they were just like legging it out.
Oh yeah, Raven's hot.
Raven was hot
because he's so mysterious, and he has like a long cape,
and
a staff,
and just like sort of saucy beard. And I remember at the time just being like, I guess maybe I'd initially thought it was a kind of like identity crush or like friend crush. Mm-hmm. And then sort of like in retrospect, having thought about it for this, when you sort of told me who to think of, it just kind of like, I don't know, maybe I was kind of like, oh, maybe that was an actual romantic crush.
I don't remember her.
They did do a reboot a few years ago. So maybe she's a new presenter.
She looks really cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh mate. So saucy. Look at him. Sculpted facial hair. Spiky black hair, feathers everywhere. I can just picture him now. It's like, Varkath, you have lost a life. podcast.
Oh my god, imagine just like being at the pub and that guy's there and he's like, oh yeah, like, they're like, what do you do? He's like, I'm Raven.
I watch over the forests. Did you, so you know the bad guy in that? Oh my,
I didn't think I actually watched it because I found it like too scary.
Oh dude, it was so good. But there was like this, the bad character was called Navar, right? And he was like just this bloke in a big like brown like cloak, right? And you never saw his face. And sort of like the Emperor from Star Wars. But then like I remember seeing on Twitter a couple of years ago that
I put in the baddie from Raven. And it's just like Instagram hosting.
It's just interesting.
Like, why don't they get what I mean?
Look, honestly, Google can definitely read your mind. I can't believe it hasn't done that yet.
I know it can. It's always advertising me shit that I like have just run out of, and I'm like, how do you know? Okay, yeah, Google like isn't helping with that.
So, well, actually, it can help because it's Raven spelled backwards, which threw me. I saw that on Twitter.
Okay, well, I can't spell so even forward, so
Nevar.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah.
Oh shit, he yeah, like, he's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, so they had this like last challenge and they had to like beat him or something, and it was
yeah, you were like, this is so hot.
I was just like, yeah, fight for me. Fight for me, Raven. Super saucy, feathery cloaked bloke. But yeah, but like yeah, that's one that's come to me retrospectively. I was like, oh, I probably definitely
that's really cute.
Definitely had like a crush age like 10, 11 on this.
On Raven.
On Raven. But maybe it was just the mysticism.
Maybe.
It helps he was just, you know, fucking gorgeous.
And then he was next.
Oh god. So there was also this is like classic straight guy one though as well, which is like, you know, eyes roll. But it was watching one of the James Bond movies. I can't remember which one it was.
Mm. I fancied all the Bond women.
Yeah, so I think GoldenEye. So it's Famke Janssen as Xenia Onatopp. The one who's like...
How do you remember all these names?
I have a weird pop culture memory, but also I did some research before the podcast because you asked me a question. Kit is thoroughly well prepared for podcasts.
Which one?
Famke Janssen. But like... when she's as Xenia Onatopp, so when's this? Early noughties, maybe? But, like, it's more just, like, the way she is. She's, like, super confident, super intelligent, and, like, kind of kinky. Like, she's introduced on I think it's a boat, and she's, like, trying to get some money off someone or some info off someone, and she, like... strangles him while they're having sex.
Is that the one where she crushes him with her legs?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I was definitely like, crush me.
Yeah, yeah. But it was also, yeah, I don't necessarily want to have sex with her. I just want her to like fight me.
Oh my gosh, she looks
amazing. Actually, do you have that with like certain people where you like want certain people to do certain things to you, but like not necessarily sleep with them? So like Xenia Onatopp, it's like, I don't know if, I mean, I probably,
oh my god, obviously, she's so fit.
I would obviously sleep with her, but I kind of want
her
to just wrestle me.
I'm saving these pictures for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks great.
I think she's definitely a bi icon.
Yeah. She's got the, like, dark hair.
Oh, don't care. I can't deal with that right now.
Oh my god, she looks so good. How many, like, I feel like there's, like, three Bond girls in that one.
Almost certainly.
Okay, I'll just rewatch it and then I'll get a screen grab of that moment. Because it doesn't seem to be coming up.
This is Xenia Onatopp crushes man with legs, not doing it for you.
I didn't try that. I could try that.
This is making great sort of audio content of just Kit Googling stuff.
That's literally what I do every podcast.
I must know the context to this right now, right this instant.
Every time. No, this is just her posing.
Just incredibly leggy photos. I like the first one where she's got like her knees together and it's like, how much of my leg can I get in this square photo by like spreading them out to the corners.
Wow, she's beautiful. Yeah, I love James Bond.
She also played Jean Grey in the early X-Men movies.
I've never seen them.
Oh, mate, the one
or I have, but I forgot them instantly because they're all the same.
It's the one with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. But that was, like, early noughties. X-Men 2, low-key, one of the best superhero movies of all time. And it's got Famke Janssen, aka Xenia Top, as Jean Grey, who becomes Phoenix in one of the latest X-Men movies. Nice tangent.
That means nothing to me.
That's something more appropriate to the movies pod, which I listened to.
Oh, yeah. A previous episode.
Of Bisexual Agenda. Starring Kit Skets.
Do you remember your first gay crush? Did you ever have a crush on a guy at school?
No, but only like in retrospect, maybe. I don't know. It's like they were just like friends and stuff who were like definitely like closer friends, but I don't know whether that's just because, like, you know, full disclosure, I went to an all boys grammar school, so like, yeah, I know. Right?
And if it didn't happen then,
yeah. So, but the point is, like, there were gay guys at my school.
Mm-hmm. Did they have a shit time?
There was a gay guy, a guy who was out right from the start of school. Mm-hmm. And from my year and the younger years, he had, like, no problems at all. And, like, we were fine, generally. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there was definitely some shit that happened. But, like, it wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. It was bad, but it wasn't, like, you know, violent. But he got, he got really picked on by the older years, which was terrible. But I, yeah, kind of, like, stuck by him a bit more, which was nice.
That's weird.
But I definitely, in terms of crushes, I definitely was, like, yeah, super close to a couple of guys. And, like, maybe in retrospect there was something there. But, like, I don't know whether that's just because male friendships are weird. And, you know, the moment you, like, divulge your feelings to another guy, you're, like, bros forever. I don't know. It's a weird sort of thing where you don't really know where the line is. Okay. In a sort of horrible gender essentialist kind of way. But
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, it's weird. But considering I'd only sort of, like, recognised my bi curiosity in the last, like, year or so, you're applauding. that, yeah, there's been a couple of crushes since then.
Can you tell me?
Off mic. Okay. I'll tell you off mic.
Okay, oh my god, I'm so excited.
I mean, like, if you're my friend, it's probably not a secret, but,
okay.
That's, like,
you. That's fine. That's fair enough.
Yeah, so that has been a thing, but, like, I don't know what sort of capacity it's been in yet, and I don't know whether it's because these feelings are still burgeoning. I don't know whether it's,
I love it.
I don't know, like, to what extent. Is it just, like, a make-out? A fumble? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd, like, well, you know, go home after a night out yet.
Oh, yeah. But start small.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it might just be a bit like,
Yeah, and also I don't want to ever be, like, scared off because I have a bad experience and then equate that with all experiences.
Yes.
Especially when you're trying to sort of get over, like, 20-ish years of, like, straight assumptions in kind of all life.
Yeah.
Right? So
you
got to go slow with these things.
Nice. So what's your move when you have a crush?
What's my move?
Yes. Do you do anything?
Like, I'm always like, no. I'm recognising that's there. I'm so in control of this. And then I absolutely lose all control. Like, I'll always be like, oh, let's just, like, rationalise this and kind of work out what these feelings are and, like, what I want from it and what boundaries are and, like, I understand that other person, like, and what they want. Like, this is completely fine. I'm so mature about this. And then I'm just like, I think I'm in love with you. Just, like, really suddenly. And but it always, like, snowballs. It's always fine at the start. And then, you know, you're like, you see them around and it's fine, you're like chatting and it's fine, very peripheral friends, it's all fine, and then suddenly you like see, like, maybe once a week or something, and you're like, oh, hang out as a group of friends, and suddenly it's like you're seeing them a couple of times a week and you're just like, god, I just want to hold you forever. And that's kind of completely how I work. I kind of, like, it gets really intense really quickly, and I'm really good at, like, I'm generally pretty good at having a facade up and kind of being
so you hide the crush.
Yeah, but, like, the person is, I mean, like, people know, right? Obviously, like, I'm not completely hiding the crush because I can't do that.
Yeah.
But, like, I can maintain a sense of social decorum to try and avoid awkwardness in groups and stuff. Generally,
oh my God.
Generally, I'm quite good at being like, well, everyone knows we're crushing on each other or I'm crushing on them. But, like, I'm gonna, at least I feel like I'm quite good at not making other people feel uncomfortable for it. Like, friends in a group or whatever.
Okay.
But, like, I mean, I'm probably rubbish at that.
So you don't tell them. Have you ever told someone that you have a crush on
them? Yeah.
Who?
For sure.
What happened?
What happened? Well, generally, I'll only say it if I'm pretty sure they have a crush on me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's the only time I'd say it. So generally, that's been the response. So I've usually waited ages.
Okay.
Usually to the point of, like, which is probably a bad thing, right? Because if you tell someone that you have a crush on them, that can obviously affect how they're feeling. Have you ever had it where, like, someone said that they fancied you, and then you suddenly go like, oh, maybe you are an option.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, you're so much more attractive because you like me. so, like, I don't know whether me saying that sometimes maybe
makes
them like me, which is a problem because I'm only saying it when I'm really sure, which is usually towards the tail end of my crush. So, like,
and then you're like, I don't like you anymore,
yeah,
bye.
Yeah, all I needed to do was relieve those feelings and get some validation.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, Libra problems.
Oh, God. Is this a Libra thing?
Yeah. I'm, like, half Libra because my moon and my rising is in Libra.
I was about to say, like, my mum's a Libra, so like, it doesn't work like that. Oh, my God, wait, so...
I think it's just a Libra thing to, like, have big crushes on people, but the only thing you want from the crush is, like, any kind of validation. Not even, like, I like you back, just, like, oh, I think you're really great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, like, a teacher's pet problem as well.
Oh, God, I so have that problem.
Yeah, I'm like, please tell me I'm good.
Yeah, I just want you to find me not annoying.
Yes. Like, the problem I have with, like, not being at uni anymore is, like, no one marks me for my work. So I'm like, am I doing a good job?
I can mark you for your work if you want.
Yeah, but, like, you're not an authority figure. You mean nothing.
Hello. How fucking dare you?
I guess you're, like, more smart than me.
I wouldn't go that far.
Have you ever had a crush turn into something real or reality? Have you ever slept with one of your crushes?
I mean, those crushes turned into partners.
Really? How did you make that happen? Asking for a friend.
I don't know. Maybe it is like you're saying, that the sort of, like, knowing that someone likes you back kind of is a good thing and maybe, like, maintains it. And I guess just in those instances, I knew the other person liked me back, so it just kind of, like, happened like that. But yeah, like, my last girlfriend, I was crushing on her for ages and she didn't know. And then it just, like, we just sort of hung out a lot and then it just sort of happened.
Did you ever tell her that you had a crush on her for ages?
Yeah. I mean... So I was crushing for a bit, and then we were, like, hanging out, and then, like, do we sleep together? I can't remember. I can't remember if we slept together after or before. I'm pretty sure it was before we were together. And so it was pretty obvious. I'm sure I must have said something. I get really, like, earnest and cheesy, like, when I'm, like, certain...
Okay.
So, like, when I know it's fine, I'm like, okay, all the pretense is off. I really like you. Don't know if you've noticed from the fact that I'm always around.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a high success rate with your crushes.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. You're like, I have 1,000 failed crushes.
But it's more that I'm able to sort of, like, differentiate. So, like, I can tell when a crush is, like, infatuation, and I know it'll only last a couple of months, so, like, I usually don't do anything about it. But it's gotten more annoying as I've gotten older because I just fancy everyone. but
you do nothing about it.
No, because you fancy everyone, you fancy no one.
Really, I just, like, if I think it's just a chill crush, I just tell them, because
yeah.
I feel like there's less.
Yeah, and if you know they're the sort of person who's just be like, okay, fine.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm okay with, like, a low-level rejection of, like, someone I've just met, and I'm like, oh, I have a crush on you. Because
yeah.
If they say they don't like me back, I'm like, well, that's based on absolutely nothing, because you don't know me. But if I've known for ages, and I've had a crush on them for ages, and then they're like, oh, I don't like you, I'm like, oh, fuck, and you actually know everything about me, and you don't like me.
Oh, God, you've actually evaluated the situation.
Because of me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, whereas, what, when you told them earlier, it's like, oh, my God, I can still win you over.
No, then I just kind of... I think I used to, like, not tell people I had a crush on them for, like, 2 years. Like, until I was, like, actually dying. And I was like, I am in love with them, and they need to know. But that was when I was, like, 18.
Mm.
And now I'm just like, the second I have a crush, I just tell them, because then it makes it easier to deal with, because it's not like all my thing and I can't like build up.
Right, yeah.
Because if I tell them straight away and they're like, oh, I just like think we're friends, or like I'm not really into you like that, then I'm like, okay, well, there's no point me taking this to like 0 to 100. I'm in love with them, because it's not going to happen.
Sure. And you can kind of rationalize it and...
Mm-hmm. And then the crush just stays like at the same level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, you've like nipped it in the bud.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I'm trying to do that now.
That's quite good.
Like, I was like, realized that I always just wanted to be in like these weird one-sided relationships where like I had a massive crush on someone and didn't tell them, but we like spoke every day.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Did you like the sort of like secret thrill of just like, you don't even know that I'm crushing
on you? No, because so I feel like it was so obvious to the other person.
And you got a kick out of them still talking to you even though it was obvious that you're crushing. You're like, they still want to talk to me even though they're crushing.
I think I just kind of like deluded myself into thinking that we were both on the same wavelength and they felt the same way about me.
But you didn't want them to say it. You just wanted to, you just wanted to feel it, to know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely know that feeling.
So now I'm like, bitch, you're not doing this anymore. Like, I just had, like, a string of people that I was, like, obsessed with for, like, a year.
Mm.
And I'd be, like, really close friends with them. And, like, just agonizing over them all the time. And then finally tell them and it would just be, like, my expectations would just be so high. And it would just become so unrealistic that it's, like, we can't even go anywhere from this point. Because I'm, like, in love with you and now you're just finding out.
Like, yeah, and they haven't had time to, like, think it through, possibly. So you just come out and you're like, I'm literally in love with you. Like, whoa, this is 0 to 100.
Yeah. And I just think, like, that's not a great... Also, you don't want to be in a relationship with someone that you've been obsessed with for, like, a really long time, because then it's, like...
Such an imbalance.
They're on the pedestal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is bad. Mm. A healthy month to 6 weeks of obsession is fine.
Yeah. So now I'm like, let's nip it in the bud.
Sure.
And if I tell someone I like them, that's like the rush I need.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, I've told them. And then even if they're like, oh, I don't like you back, I'm like annoyed for like 2 days and then I'm over it.
What if they turn around and just be like, I'm in love with you?
No one's done that.
What if they like, they called your bluff and doubled down and went like super hard? You're like, I have a crush. And they're just like, I want to like marry you.
Oh, then I'm like, I have a prior engagement. Bye. If someone likes me back, I'm like, how lame of you.
You're such a loser.
You know? I don't know. I like to be the one chasing up to a certain point.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. Like, if you could bottle the chase, I'd take that over actually being with anyone any day, I think.
Mm.
I love the sort of, like, chaotic chase. It's great fun. It's like, you've seen Fleabag, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... Where she's like, I think it's in the first season where she's like, I don't even like sex that much, but if you could like bottle the feeling of two people looking at each other knowing that they're about to have sex, then she's like, I just want that. Like, that whole thing, I'm so here for like that moment before, like, before you tell each other you like each other, or like, before you sleep with someone, it's very much the, yeah, that like moment of like pure, like, visceral, bodily, like, validation, right? Like, that's absolutely what I want, where like,
wow,
it's, yeah, complete carnage and I love it. Completely at odds with my completely put together outer persona.
I don't think you're hiding it that well.
Oh, I thought I was doing well.
I feel like it's spilling out all the time. Oh. So this is the part where I'm going to drag us both. Yes. Wikipedia search, I found out that there's this thing called limerence. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, so limerence is this thing that the psychologist Dorothy Tenev came up with in 1979 in her book Love and Limerence, The Experience of Being in Love. And she basically is like, this is why you feel literally insane when you have a crush on someone.
Oh boy.
And you're literally on crack, essentially.
Oh, no wonder crack's so good.
So, when you're in love or have an intense crush, you have very low levels of serotonin, similar to if you have OCD.
Okay.
And it's like firing all the like stress and reward things in your brain.
Okay.
So essentially, if you have a crush on someone, you feel the same as if you were actually in love.
Right.
Which is very weird.
Yeah, because they're not... I don't know, they're very different, right?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you were like properly, you know, in love with someone, you like, you know, stayed with them for like 50 years or whatever, and you felt like you had the intense crush all the time. Like, how the fuck would you function?
I know, it was almost feel like a crush actually feels stronger than actually being in love.
Yeah, because as we all know, being in love is a complete lie. So, and there is no love in the world.
Being in love is fake.
I think it's like all there is short infatuation about. That's all there is.
Yeah, so I was like, well, what ingredients make the crush? So Dorothy says intrusive thoughts and fantasies.
Yeah.
Fear of rejection.
Oh, God.
Hope.
Okay.
And loneliness.
In that order?
Yes.
Yeah, because it overriding sense of loneliness is...
Yeah, so she basically said, like, if your social needs aren't being met, but you don't know it, you'll have more crushes.
Oh.
Because you're, like, craving, like, affection and closeness and intimacy where it's lacking in your life, but you, like, are making it up in your head.
Oh, God.
I was like...
What am I missing, Dorothy?
Yeah, and it's, like, the combination of, like, you're not telling them because you're scared of them rejecting you, and then the crush is over, but the hope that they might feel the same.
And you can only maintain the hope if you don't tell them.
Exactly.
Because it's...
Unless you're, like, extremely good at delusion, which I am, so I can tell someone I have a crush on them, and they say they don't feel the same, and I can still carry on.
I can mark you at, like, a 75 for your delusion or something if you really want that validation. I mean, so... Yeah, and because so the whole hope thing, right, is only ever your own projection of hope, right? So it's a complete imaginary thing.
Yeah, and she said it's very different to, like, wanting to be in a relationship with someone, because that's usually, like, you want to have sex with them or you want to be in a relationship. But if you have a crush on someone, you just want to know that they feel the same way about you.
Yeah, I almost exclusively only fancy people in, like, a non-sexual way.
Yeah, same. I only, like, feel... I, like, don't care about sex unless I'm sleeping with someone. And then I'm like, let's have sex every second of the day.
Okay, yeah, I'm not even like that anyway. But you're I'm a low sex drive boy. So. Okay.
I'm like, have none unless I'm seeing someone, and then I have all of it.
Yeah, even though, I mean, I do probably in the early stages, but then I'm just like,
Fair enough. So I was just thinking, are all crushes unhealthy then? And do they actually make us feel good, or do we just like torturing ourselves?
Crushes are healthy because it's fun, right? And, like, what the fuck else is there to do? Like,
exactly.
It's like, if you're not crushing on someone and, like, having the excitement, it's like, oh, cool, well, I'll just, like, wake up at 7 and go to work. And come home and, like, cook dinner and watch EastEnders and go to bed. Like, exactly. might as well have the sort of, like, brain crack of crushing on someone.
Yeah, and all the stuff I read about crushes basically said that your crush only says something about you. It doesn't say anything about the other person. And a lot of the time, the person you have a crush on just has, like, some, like, attribute or something that you want independently of them.
So it links in with, like, the other types of crushes, potentially.
Yeah, but I think it also just means, like, if you had whatever you're looking for from this crush in your life that you were giving yourself, then you wouldn't have the crush.
That's when people say, like, oh, I'm, like, happily married with my kids, and I, you know, I don't never fancy anyone else because I've got my life so together. Here is a photo of my child on Facebook. Like,
I was thinking about it, though. Like, I do actually have crushes when I'm in a relationship.
No, no.
I have them when I'm single. And I also didn't have... When I, like, had my last breakup, I didn't think about anyone else for, like, a really, really long time. And then when I felt like I was kind of ready to, like, start dating again... But in reality, I really wasn't ready to start dating. I had, like, loads of crushes, like, in succession. And I think it was because I wanted to, like, test out dating just by having, feelings for someone instead of actually going on a date. Because I knew I actually wasn't ready.
Yeah, so you know you're ready to start dating again when you don't have loads of crushes.
Well, yeah. And, like, when you can, like, go on a date with someone and it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah,
and you maybe don't get, like, obsessed with them.
Yeah.
Because now, if I get obsessed with someone that I'm dating, I'm like, okay, this is like a warning sign that I'm like projecting shit onto them.
Yeah.
And also, I feel so uncomfortable when people have a crush on me because I'm like, you don't know me, bitch. Like, you're making up who I am in your head. Like, I could never date someone who had a crush on me because I'm just like, we don't know each other. Like, who do you think I am?
I love that, but you're completely willing to buy into the chaser in that exchange.
I know. Like, what the hell?
Like, you don't, but so, and so all the time you're crushing on someone, you're like, I know this is just my made up version of you, but like, I don't care. I still want you.
Yeah, but then also, I've never like been in a relationship with someone that I had a crush on. I've like slept with people that I had crushes on, and then I've kind of realized that a relationship isn't gonna work.
Mm. I guess it depends what you want, right? Because if you want a relationship or you want like a long term thing, then that would make sense.
Mm.
Whereas like,
I just feel like if I got involved with someone I had a crush on, it would just be like so terrible for me. Because I'd just like be giving too much.
Mm. Because you'd be wanting to impress them or please them.
Yeah, and also, like, I wouldn't actually care what they were giving back to me because I would just be like, you're the object of the crush. So, like, because you get the reward just from, like, them being a human being.
Oh, God, yeah, that makes so much sense.
I was thinking, like, I could honestly have a crush on, like, a breadstick.
I mean, why would you? It's the perfect dipping implement. It's a perfect sauce vehicle.
Like, if life is Sims, which I think it is, like, I truly believe, like, this is fake. If, like, whoever is controlling... If whoever's controlling my sim just sent, like, a random person in every now and then and, like, with the intention of them being my crush, I would fall for it every time.
Dude, was it another previous episode of The Bisexual Agenda starring Kit Scaly where you talked about The Sims and, like, whenever anyone came over to the house...
That was my sister.
That was your sister. Oh, shout out to Kit's sister.
Yeah, no, I try to subduce people on Sims, but I mainly just, like, would spend ages building the house and making the house how I wanted it, and then I just wouldn't play anymore.
Oh.
I would just play for, like, 7 hours one day and then not again for months.
I was like, did you ever play, like, Theme Park World or, like, those kind of games where you're like, I spent all the time building the theme park and then I was like, well, I'm not going to play out this capitalist exchange in which you earn money. I just want to do the building and then leave. I'm here at the manufacture level. Like,
the games I used to like were, like, the Bratz game and the Barbie game. And you basically, like, picked a woman and then you, like, chose her outfit and her makeup and her hair. And then she goes on a date and you, like, pick the location of the date. But you don't actually see the date. You just, like, get her ready for the date.
Because it's, like, a five-year-old's game.
Yeah, but I, like, fucking love that shit. And I fancied, like, all the girls. I'm like, why was I spending, like, 6 hours a day on the Barbie game? It's because I was like, these girls are so cute. I love their outfits. Like,
yeah, sure, Kit.
It's so cute.
It does sound quite cool. I like the idea of a game, yeah, that's only ever the, like, prelim. It's like a party that's only the pre-drinks, which is invariably the best bit.
Yeah, I never go out.
Why would you?
I don't like it. I don't like being around people I don't know.
Yeah.
In the dark. Standing up. Having to buy drinks.
Ugh.
Having to get a taxi home.
Yeah.
And it's cold.
Give me the house party every day.
Yeah.
House party
with clothes. You should have a house party again.
I'll talk to you off mic.
Okay. So yeah, I basically think it's okay to have a crush, but don't go insane. And maybe don't actually try to pursue your crushes. Because it's not realistic.
I mean, you say that, but it depends what you want, right? Yeah, don't chase your crushes if you want long-term stability. Do chase your crushes if you want chaotic excitement.
Like, if you love hell. It's time for your bisexual agenda.
Oh, yay!
Woo! I'm so excited to hear it.
I don't know how long this needs to be.
It can be as long as you want.
Okay. Just a couple of things. Am I just going straight in?
Mm-hmm.
Carl's bisexual agenda. That's the fanfare for it. I would say that there just needs to be, like, more societal openness to bi curiosity and, like, not an immediate need to be like, I'm bisexual, or I'm gay, or I'm pansexual. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, just kind of accept that some people are... It's a process. And people don't really know where they sit yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I sit yet. I know I'm probably not straight, but I don't know whether I'd definitively be like, I'm a bisexual guy yet. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, some people... Like, if I'm on Tinder and then a girl comes up and she says she's bi-curious, it normally does put me off, but that's because I'm like, but what do you actually mean? Like, do you mean that you actually have, like, romantic feelings for women and you want to explore them? Or is it, like, you're currently in a relationship with a man and you want to have a threesome? Or, like, you want to sleep with a woman once to find out what it is? Because I don't want to be, like... in that position where someone's, like, gonna have sex with me and think that's, like, what it's like to have sex with a woman.
Sure. Well, that's the problem with the word curiosity, then, because it's, like, is your curiosity as a, oh, I'm just curious, or is it, like, I'm, like, curious about an other, like, a partner, or is it, I'm curious about myself,
yeah.
I'm curious about my own sexuality.
Yeah.
So it's an ambiguity in what that curiosity
means,
right?
I think it's
right?
just, like, I want to actually know what they're looking for, but then, like... you need to find that out from, like, anyone on Tinder. But then I think I just kind of worry that, like, I think it's, like, you feel like you might get rejected more easily if someone's like, oh, I'm bi-curious, because you go on one date and they're like, oh, actually, I don't like women.
Yeah. It could be an easy get out. But then, like, I feel like I'm genuinely bi-curious and I'm not on the apps, as it were.
I think it's, like, don't... make it someone else's responsibility. I think that's what, like, puts me off when they say that, because I'm like, you're on Tinder to, like, sleep with a woman to, like, find out what it's like. And that's, like, quite a big thing to, like, put onto someone else.
It's quite objectifying as well, because it's like, oh, you will just be here as, like, this tool with which for me to find out about myself.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, a lot of, like, bi women don't like it when couples are on Tinder and they just use, like, a woman's profile, so they come up for, like, a lot of, like, bi and lesbian people.
Oh,
and then, like, sometimes they'll just be like, we're both straight. And it's like, well, why are you having a threesome with a woman then if the woman isn't attracted to women? Or the girl will be like, well, I'm bi-curious and I want to have a threesome with my boyfriend. And it's like, that's like a really, like, high stakes situation to enter in.
Yeah. That sounds like people who haven't really thought about it too much.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, because I've been told by a couple of gay friends that, like, if I went on Grindr and said that I was bi-curious, I'd get loads of attention.
Maybe.
And it's, I don't know whether that's...
Maybe, but that might be from, like, a fetishizing thing, being like, oh, you've never fucked a guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where it'd be coming from.
I think, like, I think it's a word that, like, has negative connotations, but also some of that is just, like, biphobia. So, like, when people are like, oh, being bisexual is a phase. So if someone says, oh, they're bi-curious... like, even I might think, like, oh, they just want to, like, try it out once, and then they're going to be like, meh.
Yeah.
But in reality, they could, like, just be in the process of coming out.
Sure,
or, like, exactly. Discovering. So it's, like, I think it just needs to be the right time and place.
Yeah. I think, it's because, the word bi-curious is used for people who are working out whether they're entirely gay or...
Yeah, or, and also, like, sometimes if someone's actually bisexual and identifies as bisexual, like, in the news they'll be like, ooh, bi-curious.
Yeah.
And, like, porn categories, I feel like porn is always saying, like, bi-curious woman.
Yeah, it's
always seen as, like, only sexual.
Yeah, and it becomes, it's this catch-all term, and it's safe. It's like, bi-curious is like something that could be said on the news, you know. That doesn't quite get everyone's heart racing the same as just, like, you know, fervent bisexual. You know, so
I think I need to stop thinking that it's like means they want a certain thing, because it doesn't necessarily mean
not necessarily
that.
And you have no idea, just like anything, when anyone says, you have no idea what people's intent behind that word is, and it's just through talking about it, and it's, you know, a limitation of language.
And also it could just be if someone thinks they're bisexual but they haven't had sex with a woman or a guy, so then they're like, well, I can't call myself bisexual because I've never done it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I'll say I'm bi-curious because I want to do it but I haven't yet.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Where it's like, you can just say you're bisexual literally whenever.
Yeah.
The first time a single thought enters your mind.
Yeah.
You're like, Raven.
The moment of biception.
Yes.
I don't know, that sounds a bit...
Because it's like, your sexuality is based on, like, desires and feelings. It's not, like, actions. And I think, the problem with, like, a lot of biphobia is it, like... sees, like, being bisexual as conditional, so, like, what partner you're with at the moment, or who you're sleeping with, or, like, who you end up with. So a lot of, like, TV characters, they'll be like, oh, she's turned gay, But it's like, no, she's bisexual and now she's in a relationship with a woman. Because exactly. Unless you're like polyamorous or whatever, like most of the time you're only going to have one partner. But that doesn't mean that that is what your sexuality is.
Mm. I think a lot of biphobia and that kind of stuff is rooted in a wider societal obsession with monogamy, potentially.
Where, yeah.
Like, where this idea of like presenting to a society is as like having a singular partner is not compatible with this idea of like multiplicitous desire.
Yeah.
That is sort of...
I read a thing that I wasn't sure if I agreed with, and it was just kind of saying like the reason why like straight monogamous people and straight like gay monogamous people are like so like threatened by the idea of bisexuality is because it like implies that not all relationships last forever.
Mm.
Because you might have another partner in the future. But then I was like, that's not what it is though. It's not like, oh, right now I'm dating you, but in the future I might want to date a man or a woman.
Yeah,
or both.
It doesn't work like that.
It's like...
Just like, it's like any...
But I think that's what threatens people if like you're gay or straight and you're in a relationship with a bisexual person. A lot of the time, like if I was with a guy, they'd always be like, are you going to leave me for a woman? And I'd be like, I don't know, bitch. Are you going to leave me for a woman?
But,
like...
But
it's not about that.
Gender's irrelevant because you can be in a straight or a gay relationship as a straight or homosexual person and it's just like one person can't give you everything.
Mm-hmm. I think people think you're more likely to like get bored or cheat on someone if you're bisexual because you have the potential to be attracted to more people.
But again, that's quite a reductive way of looking at it, right?
Exactly. Everyone stop being biphobic.
Because just, you know, men are trash. So like, why would you like them? That was a very problematic phrasing.
It's fine. I'm going to have an episode called Men Are Trash.
Sure, yeah. I'd like to stress that that was a feminist viewpoint rather than a, ew, I'm not gay. I'd very much like to stress that.
What's number two?
Number two on the agenda is this sort of like pervasive idea that like men are driven by sex and is something that is apparent in both gay, bi, straight circle, both, all of these circles, and that isn't necessarily the case. And in a straight setting, that sort of like codifies you as a guy as like a kind of threat, right? That you are implicitly like, oh, you're a man, you're obsessed with sex, this is threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And you codify that, and in a gay setting, it's like, you can kind of just be seen as like, oh, well, you're like gay and we're all guys, so like, we're up for it.
Yeah,
and that's not, and so it's like it's kind of different. So to be someone who doesn't have a massive sex drive and be sort of like coded in those ways is quite, you know, difficult to wrestle with. And I think that's kind of like a feminist issue, right? That is like we sort of our assumptions about gender roles, then sort of slips into a sort of like what sexuality means in relation to that. And then how we sort of code those genders.
It is bad. And I think also just like the idea that the guy is like the active person and the woman is more passive, or the guy is always going to be more dominant.
Exactly.
Because I think that just confuses a lot of guys and just everyone when they start having sex, because they're like, oh, this is like the person I'm meant to be in this situation, even if you don't actually enjoy that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we go back to what we were saying at the start where like, I just want Xenia on top to just fucking crush me. Like, I'm so here for the sub life. But like, I don't know how
and
that would work.
That's
in
not
contexts.
Feminine. Like that doesn't no. like being passive or being submissive is not like essentially feminine.
No, not at all.
In any way. And I think like one thing I find like, because a lot of guys have like the kink of like watching their wife or girlfriend like get fucked by another man.
Cuckolding, yeah.
Yeah. And like that's always seen as like the guy being like
emasculated.
Yeah, yeah, emasculated. And it's like, that's what they want. And then them having to think that their enjoyment is like through the lens of like, oh, I'm being emasculated right now, like another guy's fucking her, my like possession.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's so wrapped up in
but it's like,
discourse. Yeah.
You just want to watch other people having sex. Like,
which is fine in and of itself, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's fine as a fetish. But it's like that it's a specific person and it's all tied up in that kind of stuff, like you said.
Mm.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Femdoms all the way.
Oh, for sure. So yeah, they were like the only 2 points that I had. Like,
you don't have a third one?
I don't have a third one.
Can you make one up?
What, right now? Do I
yeah.
need, oh, you want
it what? Can be just like low-key. None of mine was serious.
Yeah, I guess just, you know.
Do you have a favourite snack?
A favourite snack?
At the moment.
Yeah, I mean, my housemates will tell you as well. I have just been scranning, just like supermarket own brand, like lightly salted tortilla chips and just like gallons of hummus. And that is, I go through snack phases. So like, I used to have a mad chocolate button / 12 bites phase for about, I don't know, 2 years. And then, and now I'm in the hummus and tortilla chips phase. Yeah, I guess that's my favorite snack. But of course, listeners, you could be my next snack.
What?
Sorry, I'm just putting out a call.
Oh, do you want to get a hit on?
Of course I do.
Okay,
I'm, well, I'm just here for the validation.
You don't have an Instagram, so no, how can anyone hit on you?
Your boy's on Twitter.
Okay, okay. I'll link your Twitter.
Oh God, does this so dangerous? I just shit post.
You sound quite intelligent on Twitter.
Sometimes.
Mm.
I mean, I will warn you though, I just want you to fancy me, I will not do anything with you. Maybe I'll hold your hand, maybe we'll make out, but anything past that, nah.
I think that's perfect.
Not for me.
That's what everyone wants, mate. Essentially.
Keep me stranded on first base forever.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
I love that too. Do you want me to read your tarot?
Yes!
Can you shuffle?
These are really cool cards. I've never had my tarot read before.
I'm excited. Hopefully it won't drag you. Like, sometimes it's a dragging, sometimes it's, like, validating.
I kind of want it to drag me because...
Okay.
It's a sub-life.
Oh. Okay, what one do you want to do? You can do past, present, future, situation, action, outcome. You can do a romance one.
Oh, God.
Or you can do a dream interpretation.
Oh, I can't remember my dreams.
Okay.
I probably don't need to, I know, but...
Or you can do a self-assessment and advice.
Oh, God, I don't know.
That's when it tells
no,
you...
No, let's do the romance one, because that's in line, that's in line with crushes, right? Let's.
Oh, yeah, okay. So relationship spread. So this is, like, you, your partner, and the relationship.
Oh, God, I don't have a partner.
Yeah, but you can just pick anyone.
Okay.
I just pick whoever I have a crush on. I'm like, you're my boyfriend now.
Oh, my God, yeah, that's totally go against everything we have said in the episode. I'm imagining a crush. Right, yeah, fine.
Okay, I can't wait. So, you, what is your role in this relationship? How do you perceive yourself, and how does that affect your partnership? Ace of Pentacles, opportunity, prosperity, new venture. This card represents the spark of new opportunity in the realms of all that is earthly, matter, body, even wealth. The world brought forth by this card is fertile and full of abundance.
Jesus.
Bringing opportunity and prosperity.
I'm crushing it. Literally.
Okay. Oh no. Dynamics. How would you describe the relationship? What are the characteristics of it?
Is this the tower now?
The tower.
Yeah.
Sudden upheaval, pride, disaster.
Fuck.
Inevitable destruction and the breakdown of something in our lives which we consider foundational. Reminiscent of the Tower of Babel, which is built upon far-reaching human ambition, creating an artificial comfort in our lives. But there is always an upside. When the tower levels, not only do we uncover our hidden resilience, but we can also rebuild anew with a greater insight.
Cool.
Okay. Partner, what is their role in the relationship? How do you perceive your partner and how does that affect the partnership? The Magician. Willpower, desire, creation, manifestation. The Magician represents pure willpower. She takes all that is available to her and molds and transforms it to her desires. With her hand pointing to the ground and her wand pointing to the sky, she is the manifestation of the ancient phrase, as above, so below, meaning that earth reflects heaven. What is within is also without. The microcosm and the is the macrocosm.
This is so rogue.
Naturally, this phrase is the origin of what is commonly understood as magic. I'm intrigued that they said that the Magician is a woman.
Yeah, I mean, that could just be a reclaiming of the sort of, like, assumed gendered pronoun.
Most of the...
Are they just there?
This is, like, a traditional one. Like, most of the people are men.
Okay, that's interesting.
That is very interesting. Do you feel seen by that in any way?
So I have a very fertile, destructive, the other person's a magician.
Yes, mean... are you in love with a magician?
Yeah, well, they did make my... Heart vanished. No, I'm trying to touch. I was thinking, like, well, no, I should just take my breath away, shouldn't I, or something. But no, I couldn't do that.
They did put me in a box and cut me in half.
Hot. That's the kind of sub-life I like. Just.
Do you want to do another one?
Yeah, go on. This is kind of fun, isn't it?
We're doing a past, present, future.
Okay. Right.
Page of Pentacles again. Or do you have the Ace of Pentacles? Okay, yeah.
I had the Ace of Pentacles last time, yeah. The Devil! And... Wait, is that my present? Oh, crap. And... Oh, crap. Oh, no. Death. I mean, we are all going to die in the future.
It's okay. They're not, like, so literal.
What are you on about? This is literally...
I'm not predicting your death, okay? I can't be a part of that. Okay, your past. What attitudes, feelings, or belief in past events have shaped your current situation? Page of Pentacles. Dreams, desire, new opportunity. Very similar to the last one. This card indicates that you are on the brink of giving life to a new venture or opportunity that brings you luck in the material world. You are full of enthusiasm and energy to make this new opportunity come to life.
Woo!
That's nice.
That is quite a nice one. So wholesome.
Present. So, the Devil. Excess materialism, playfulness, represents the fears, obsessions, and insecurities that hold humanity back from reaching their true potential. Two souls are enslaved by the beast, a mirror image to the lovers, but their bonds are not those that are physical or real.
Oh man, immaterial bonds.
Future, death, end of a cycle, beginnings, change, metamorphosis. I can't say that.
That's right.
A cycle comes to a close, a radical transformation that requires a part of oneself to be sacrificed and able to continue to the next plane. With loss, something can begin, something new can begin. Death carries a scythe not just to destroy, but also to sow the new harvest.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice, even though it was kind of like savage.
It is like the devil and death, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm here with this.
Cool. That's the end. Woo! Bye! Thanks for coming.
See you later.